myself, for my family, for the church. I find this a very exciting type of year. And it's why in the last few years I love having this service where we just stop and we pause and we make sure our church life, just turn that down a bit so I can hold a bit closer, we make sure our church life is grounded in God and not in us. Because if we just go into a whole lot of human things and it's not grounded in what God wants for us, it's pointless, right? You agree? We want God to lead the charge. And so I love praying and thinking and dreaming what God's got for us. So today is a day where we humble ourselves in a sense, where we don't be arrogant and say we're going to forge ahead and do all this great stuff. We humble ourselves and say, God, what do you want to do? Where are you taking us? What are you doing? How can we follow what you want? That well-known Bible verse by many of you. Not by might nor by power, but by my... Who wants that for church? Yes? Good. Lots of hands. And that's what today is about. Next week, we're going to be starting a series on the kingdom of God, looking through the Gospels, what Jesus says. But today, we're pausing and stopping and saying, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, God, lead us. It's a day where we can pray, where we can say we are a Spirit-led people. And we have to do this because there's a battle going on. Did you know that? There's an old song we used to sing, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." Who remembers that one? I love thinking about these old songs. They stick in your mind. There's a battle going on. First of all, there is a battle going on for the souls of all people. There's a battle going on for truth and for people to know Jesus and for people that there's a Satan's trying to take them away from the truth of who Jesus is. But there's also a battle for those that call themselves followers of Jesus. Did you know that? Do you know the battle doesn't stop when you become a follower of Jesus? You know that, don't you? You don't kind of go, well, there you go. Smooth sailing. The devil just goes, well, I'm going to try even harder, doesn't he? The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. The devil's still there trying to take us away. So there's a battle going on for us. And we live in a consumer culture where it's all about me, get what I want. And so we have to stop and we have to pause and we have to say no. Our attitude should be the same as that of who? Christ Jesus. It's a big call, isn't it? We've got to humble ourselves. A great prayer. May he give you the desire of your heart and make your plans succeed. It's a great prayer that I pray for lots of people. But if our hearts aren't aligned with what God wants, it's a useless prayer. You know that? There's no good saying and praying that he'll give us the desires of our heart if our hearts aren't aligned with what God's heart is. And so today is that sense of aligning our heart this year and saying we want what God wants. That our hopes and our dreams, even me as the pastor of this church, that my hopes and dreams and things I want to tell you and challenge you with won't be mine, they'll be God's. That's my prayer. And so as I've been praying for this, I've come up with this, I think just this simple vision for this year. Now, it's really not that strange. I don't think you're going to go, wow, I've never heard that before. But I think it is a biblical thing that God has said, here's some things I want you to think about this year. So I've got a real challenge for you now. So now you need to look for this little piece of paper. You got this little one? That's what we're going to be following through. Get your pen out because you're going to write in some of the things. So grab that one. Yeah, there's work to do today, Mark. What? Change? Oh, can't have change. Follow along with this little piece of paper. Now, I gave you the challenge before for that ministry sheet to keep that for this week and pray for ministries. Here's a bigger challenge. I want you to put this in your Bible and keep this for the whole year. Now, there's a challenge, right? You got that? This one's going to slot in your Bible and you're going to keep it for the whole year. But we're going to follow along this little sheet and it's just a simple vision that God's given us and a whole lot of stuff we want to do this year in the church ties in with some of these simple things. So let's pray and let's have a look at what God's placed on my heart for this year and for us this year. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we don't have to go it alone. How silly of us to think that we could. How crazy of us to try. So, Lord, we don't want to go it alone. We want to be a Spirit-led church that follows the lead of your Spirit, that follows your word. And so, God, we pray you'd help us. And so, God, these simple things that you've placed on my heart for us for this year, I would just pray, God, that they become something that we pray through, we seek, something that we don't just cast aside, but these are things that you care about, I believe, God, and so we want to care about them. And so would you give us wisdom this year, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so this vision for this year, for ministry, for our church, comes from this famous verse in the Bible or verses. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this famous saying of Jesus that kind of, in a nutshell, captures how we are to live as Christians. It doesn't tell you how to become a Christian. Some people think, well, I just sort of have a bit of spirituality and I'd be nice to people and that's all good. No, this doesn't tell you how to become a Christian. That is found in what? The forgiveness of Jesus Christ, amen? It's found in accepting the forgiveness of Jesus who died for you. We've been singing about this morning. But this Jesus tells us what it is to live as a Christian. And there's two simple things there. Now, this saying that Jesus said, it came because a religious leader, a Pharisee, a religious guru was trying to what? What was he trying to do? Encourage Jesus? Say it louder, please, Lionel. He was trying to trap Jesus. He's trying to trick Jesus. And he says, I'm going to give you a question. What's the most important command? Jesus is going to muck this all up. And instead, Jesus gives this wise, amazing answer is what it means to live. And he talks, first of all, about our relationship with God and then our relationship with people. I mean, it's so simple in a way, isn't it? Love God, love people. And he goes as far to saying in verse 40 there that the entire law and the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So he sums up the entire Old Testament, right, with these two simple things. Love God, love your neighbor. So simple and yet so difficult. And so you'll see on our little sheet there that this is where this simple vision for this year came from. It flowed out of this idea of loving God, loving your neighbor. And it says there in the red there, flowing from our love for God and devotion to God. So the first thing is, it's grounded in our love for and our devotion to God. So all we're going to do this year, an attempt for God, everything we're seeking to do isn't just go and do some stuff with people. It starts with God, right? We want to love God. We want to be devoted to God. Parents, I hope your kids this year get good grades and they win the sports carnivals and everything else. But you know what? I hope your biggest prayer is that they love God more and know God better. Yes? I really hope that's your prayer. If you're at work this year, I hope you get that promotion. I hope you get that pay rise. I hope it's fantastic. But you know what? If your number one goal isn't to know God better and love God more, you failed from the start. We're so consumed with all these other things. And we'll get to that in a moment. I had a friend who was 2 weeks ago preaching in another church, and he was really excited when he got there and they started to open their Bibles, and it was full of young adults and it was a growing church and everyone had their Bible and all their Bibles were tattered and torn and written all over, and there was this passion to know God more. And so before we even go to do anything, we want to stir a passion and a love and devotion to God. Make sense? And so we're going to encourage you again through reading your word, reading God's word, through prayer. We're going to be encouraging you again this year to love and be devoted to God, number one. But out of that, then what are we praying and serving and seeking to do? So out of this love for God, what is it we're going to be praying and we're going to be using our hands and doing stuff and we're going to be seeking to do? Well, I've come up with four things this year that I think God has got for us as a church. We'll see if you might agree. And the first one, get your pens ready, is this. First one's pretty simple. People loved. It's pretty obvious, but to me, this is where it starts. The first thing, as we love God, that I'm praying we'll see, I'm seeking for us to see, I'm serving for us to see, is that we will actually see people loved. Now, it sounds easy, but it takes sacrifice, it takes prayer, it takes finances. And I'm praying you'll see there that it's both people inside and outside our church. It includes both, doesn't it? Yes? It includes both. Now, in fact, you may not realize, but in the New Testament, most of it's actually written about how the church is treating the church. Did you know that? All these letters of Paul, they're written to the church and what's going on. So much of the Bible, yes, we have a mission focus in this church that we're outward looking, but so much of the Bible is written to tell the people of God to love each other, to be devoted to each other, to pray for each other. I've got to admit, I'm always surprised when people share prayer points in church and I'm the only one that writes them down. You must all have fantastic memories. Let's be a church that actually really cares about each other. And we'll be talking about that this year. I could say so much more about it. Visitors, new people, what are you doing with that? Or you come into church and make sure we sing my favorite song and I get what I want. Or are you coming with, how can I serve? How can I bless? Who am I going to find? Praying for those that are sick. What are you going to do to show that you love your church family? I believe flowing from our love from God is supposed to be a love for our church family. And we've got some growing to do there. Meals, sharing dinners, all these things. But also people that are outside the church, of course. I spoke earlier last year, some of you might remember, that we should have acceptance before change. You got those? And I think that's a really important thing, that before you expect people to change, we show acceptance. That's what Jesus did. He accepted them as they were, who they were, and then changed. So the first thing for me, it's quite simple, is that we're going to see people loved, and we're going to see them loved with what? We're just going to talk about it, or we're actually going to do something, get our hands dirty. Right? We're going to love with words and with actions. So what I want you to do, just pause for 2 minutes, because today we're going to pause 4 times. I just want you to turn over the back there, and I just want you to talk to God just for 2 minutes. How am I to love people more, God? Where am I failing? Both inside the church, what am I doing inside the church to love people? Outside the church, just 2 minutes I want you to take and just think between you and God. You can write something down if you want. How are you going to respond to this, to loving people inside and outside the church? So I encourage you to go home and pray more about this. We're going to go through pretty quick, but you can go home and pray more about this. Look, here's a simple way that I just thought that you can show love and love your church family. We're starting our prayer tomorrow. Jenny, are you back on tomorrow night in your house too, or not? Not yet. Prayer, yep, 7:30 at Jenny's tomorrow night, or 6:30 a.m. upstairs in my office. Come together and pray for your church and your church family. There's the one simple way that you can start to love your church family. So for me, that's where it starts, with this idea that we want to see people loved inside and outside our church. But we don't want to just see that. In fact, I'm praying and serving and seeking to see people saved. Now, I had a friend once tell me, and we talked about this idea, you can't just see, Matt, as people as targets for evangelism. You know, as though you just got to love people and you know, you see everyone as a target to evangelize them. Now, he's kind of right. You know, I'm going to love all people no matter what they believe and what they're like. Yes, we're supposed to do that, aren't we? Doesn't matter what they believe, I'm going to love them and show grace to them. But here's the problem. I know what they need most of all. And I'm not ashamed to say that every person I meet and get to know, the first thing that comes to my mind is ultimately I want them to know Jesus. I mean, why wouldn't I? The Bible tells us Jesus said, what? You must be. And sometimes I'm tired that even in the church there seems to be this shame to even mention heaven and hell and eternity. And I'm not going to be that church. You don't want to be that church, do you? Where we're ashamed of the gospel. And so I have a vision that in the power of God, I'm praying and seeking and I'm serving. I actually want to see people saved. Anyone else want to see that? That there actually is a reality that there's a point where people are either out of or in God's family. You realize that? I remember watching that play as I was a teenager. I'll never forget it, with the devil on one side and Jesus on the other side of the fence, and this person sitting on the fence and kind of going, and you know, the devil says, go this way, and Jesus, go this way, and they're sitting on that fence. And then it gets to the end, the person on the middle says, I think I'm just going to sit on the fence. And the devil says, what they don't know is that I own the fence. I mean, this is true, isn't it? The reality is people are either part of God's family or they're lost, aren't they? Can I get some head nods or something to say that this is actually something we as a church want to see. And so, yes, I'll love everyone no matter what they say, no matter what they believe, but you know what? I'm praying for people to be born again. Who's with me? Good. You're with me so far? We want to see people loved, don't we? And we want to see people saved. Yes, Jesus, let's see people saved. Thirdly, actually, let's stop there for a moment again. What is it, that sense of evangelism for you? Maybe you need to think about who you're inviting. Maybe you've never invited anyone to anything. Maybe you're not praying for people to be saved. Maybe you've got a friend who you've been friends for ages and you've never actually spoke to them about Jesus. Just take a moment to pause with God. This idea that you want to see people saved, what have you got to do or pray about it? Okay, we're praying that we'll see people loved. We're praying that we'll see people saved. I'm also praying that we'll see people changed. Praying that we will see people changed. I was chatting with a pastor friend this week, and we're talking about different pastors that have moved around the Newcastle area and a whole lot of different people. And he was telling me about one pastor in a church not too far from here and has moved into a very conservative church. But this guy is a young guy, covered in tattoos. He's got a background of being in prison and come from this really difficult background. And here he is pastoring a church. God is in the business of transformation, isn't he? Do you believe that? I mean, if God's actually doing anything, he's in the business of transforming people, of changing people in so many ways. First of all, overcoming bondage to a whole lot of things. First of all, the bondage that we have as being stuck in judgment, stuck in our sin. That's the first thing, first of all. But also the bondage to addiction, to a whole lot of sins, to a whole lot of fears. Jesus is in the business of changing people. He's in the business of bringing healing and new life. Do you believe that? And I'm praying that Jesus is going to touch many lives and people are going to be changed. Not only are they going to overcome bondage in a whole lot of ways, every one of us is going to be growing in faith. Every one of us. None of us have arrived, have we? None of us have arrived. Do you know, I hope you're the type of Christian that you want to learn, you want to grow, or are you someone that's saying, this is all I've got, this is it, I'm not going to change, I'm not going to change my attitudes. I hope you're someone that's open to what Jesus wants to do. Because I believe Jesus is in the business of changing. He's constantly changing me. Constantly I'm learning and growing all the time. Don't be happy just to go through the motions. Don't be happy to sit there with your talents and gifts not being used. This year I'm praying and I'm serving and I'm seeking that people might actually be changed by Jesus. And I'm going to challenge a whole lot of ways this year as how we do that. Take a moment just to have a think about that one before we get to the last part there. What might you have to do to grow in faith this year? We want to see people love, we want to see them saved, we want to see them changed. And then finally, I want to see people sent. I want to see people sent. I don't want people just to grow in faith and go, I'm doing well. I want to see them sent into our world and change the world. Go and make a difference. Amen? Let's go and make a difference to our world. We want to see people sent to Swansea and the world. We've got Jenny going to Indonesia. We've got teams going to India, all sorts of things. Who knows, God might call you to I don't know what. But I tell you what, he's calling us to Swansea. And I want to see people use their gifts and their talents, and we're going to talk more about that this year, that each of us is using all we have to be sent to our world, because there's a hurting world out there. There's a world that's lost. There's a world that is facing eternity without Jesus, aren't they? Sometimes I wonder if we really believe that as a church, if we're passionate about it. And so I want to see, as we're changed and transformed, I want to see that we're actually sent to the world. We're sent to the church and to the world as well. Craig Groeschel, one of my favorite preachers, he did a sermon where he said, we're contributors, not consumers. Contributors, not consumers. We live in a world of consumerism. Do you know whatever you consume is gone? Whatever you contribute is going to last forever. It's going to last forever. You're going to stand before Jesus, and the things that were actually worthwhile are going to be seen for what they're seen in eternity. Don't waste it on those other things. Jesus said, seek first what? The kingdom of God, and all these other things will be. You want to know what? So often, all of us, including me, are consumed with the other things. Everyone say other things. That we're so worried about the other things first, aren't we? Jesus says, seek my kingdom first, and all these other things will be added to you. Don't be consumed with the other things. Use your gifts, your talents, your abilities. We're going to be talking about how every one of us, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're sent to the world to proclaim the good news of Jesus. And so here's my question, my final question for you before we finish up. Are you open to what God is going to call you to do or to work to go? And to whom are you sent? There's a question for you. Just stop for a moment. To whom are you sent? I'm sent to a different group of people than you. To whom are you sent? So here we are at the start of another year, and are you ready? Ready to go? Ready to serve Jesus? And as I said, I really want you to put this in your Bible and be praying about these four things in particular this year. That we might actually see people loved, people saved, people changed, and people sent. I really would like you to be praying about those things this year. Really, I'm just asking us to try and align our hearts with God's heart. I haven't shared anything this morning. I don't think that anyone's going to go, wow, I would have never thought of that, Matt. I don't think I've shared anything really so radical that that's a bit strange. And yet this simple vision, I think, is so important for us that we make sure our heart follows God's heart in all we do this year. So let's pray that we might have a fantastic year as we're devoted and we love God. We're going to be praying and serving and seeking to see. Say it with me. People loved. Does everyone say people loved? People saved. People changed. And people sent. And when we do that, this is not my very good diagram, but hopefully it makes a bit of sense. Because when people are loved and when they're saved and when they're changed and when they're sent, they go and they start to what? Love people more. And then they love people and they're saved and they're changing their sense, and then we see this going on and on and on and on. What if every one of us, God used every one of us to see one person loved and saved and changed and sent? Wouldn't that be fantastic? That would be fantastic. So this is my prayer for this year. If you've got any questions about that, come and see me after. But I'd love us to be thinking about this year. I think it's a simple yet a vision that God has for us as a church, and we'll be talking about that more this year. So let me pray, and I'm going to get us to do one more thing before we finish up this morning. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you that we don't have to go it alone. And we often try and do that in life. We try and do things in our own strength, God, and we're so sorry. And so, Lord, we don't want to do that as a church family. We want to go in the strength of your Spirit, not by might, nor by power, not by human ideas or things that we like. We want to go by your Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. And so, Lord, we're praying that as we love and as we're devoted to you, as we pray and read your word, as we discover more of you, it's going to flow out into how we love people. And so we would pray that we would see people loved inside the church, a growing sense of intimacy and care for each other, that we might see people giving up and sacrificing things to bless other people in our church. We might see more of people praying for each other. We might see people even selling things to give money to people in our church that need it. And Lord, outside the church, may our community be blessed. We want to see people loved. But Lord, we also want to see people saved. We actually believe in the reality that Jesus died for us, and that's the only way to be right with God. Jesus, you said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved except the name of Jesus. And so, God, we actually believe that, and so we're praying for people to be saved. We'll accept them no matter what, God, and we'll love them no matter what, but we would pray that salvation would come to many people in Swansea. Lord, we also believe you're in the business of changing lives. You transform people. You free us from the bondage of our sin and our brokenness, and you take us to a place of new life and healing. And so, Lord, help us to really, first of all, even believe that you're doing that, but also to be aware of it, to be praying for it, to be guiding people through it, through that change. And may every one of us want to grow in faith. May none of us be comfortable where we're at, but all of us wanting to grow in faith. And Lord, we want to see people sent to. So please, Lord, help us to use our gifts and our talents to take Jesus to Swansea and to the world. And so, Lord, our simple vision for this year, it comes back, I guess, to what Jesus, you said, the most important thing, love God, love your neighbor. But we need your help to do it in the right way, led by your Spirit. So help us, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I said I'm going to get us to do one more thing before we finish. And I know some of you don't like these symbolic things, but some of you love it. In your little pack there, you should have a little slip of paper, which is behind our church values statement. And it says on it, and I've lost my one, so I'm going to steal Mark's. Well, we're going to steal Megan's. Now, I've put a couple of disclaimers on there because as you symbolically commit to your church family, if you're visiting, don't feel you need to do this morning. This is for our church family to be committed to our church. But I've put a few little disclaimers on there because I don't want committing to Swansea Baptist to be the main thing. So it says there now, I recognize that first and foremost, I'm a child of God. So your commitment to this church isn't the main thing, right? I said before, the main thing in the little Baptist basics book I have, it starts with the main thing isn't being Baptist, it's being a follower of Jesus. And so it says there, first of all, I'm a child of God. That's the main thing. According to the Bible, I recognize I'm part of the body of Christ, which includes all followers of Jesus, past, present, and future. So I'm a child of God. There's an individual part. And then you're part of, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're part of the church of all believers. But we also recognize that God calls us to be part of a local expression of that universal church. And this is where I'm getting to with our commitment to our church family. And so I've just said there that I'm committed to the family and mission and values of Swansea Baptist for this season of life. I've called it a season because I don't know if God might lead someone to move house in July, and I don't want people to write their name and say, I'm committed for the year, and then they, well, I signed that bit of paper and God's told me to move to Queensland. So I've called it this season of life, but God's called you to this local church for this season. Yes, if you're part of our church family. And so I'd really like you just to write your name. You can either just sit in your chair and Sue's going to bring around a thing to collect them, or if you'd like to come out to one of the crosses and just say a prayer for our church as we do this song we're going to do, I'd love you to do that. Just come out and just say a prayer, put on the table and just say a prayer for our church if you would like to do that. But if you want to just put it in the bucket as it comes around, that's fine too. I guess there is an expectation that all of our church members would be committed to our church with this, but all the church family is invited. Do you want to say that you're committed to this church family? So the band's going to do theirs, and then we're going to come up, we're going to teach you a new song, and while that song's going on, if you want to come out and put on a table and pray, do that. If you want to put it in the box, Sue will bring that round as we do that. So